And now it is my honor to welcome one of our own Jenny Newell, to share her reflection about letting go of perfectionism. Welcome, Jenny.
Thank you, Reverend Maria Christina. My name is Jenny Newell. My pronouns are she, her, and I am your office manager here at East Shore. I'm usually hiding behind the Zoom screen from home on a Sunday. Reverend Maria Christina says this morning, as she says every Sunday, in this church we believe that everyone can sing, but I can't. Or to be accurate, I don't. I have a memory. I'm in the passenger seat of the car. My mother is driving. I'm 7, maybe 8 years old. A song I know comes on the radio, and I start to sing along enthusiastically. Halfway through the song, my mother interrupts, something to the effect of, "You can't sing at all. You sound terrible and should stop." Now, my mom probably just wanted a bit of quiet while driving and didn't want to listen to a 7-year-old hollering along with Queen or Blondie or whatever was playing on the radio in 1980. But I believed her. She was the adult. And obviously, she'd know better than I would. I tried not to sing in the car with her after that. If I forgot, she'd remind me that my singing was just awful. My father loved music, although, to be fair, he also always claimed he couldn't sing. And the more unusual, the better. He liked Thelonious Monk and Frank Zappa, klezmer music and Irish penny whistles. The man owned a theremin. But he got to me too late. By the time he tried to get me to learn the clarinet, an instrument he'd played since he was a child, I already believed that music was not for me, that I had no talent, I was tone deaf. In 7th grade, of course, they gave us all a recorder one semester. Parents have that to look forward to. And I actually had no problem learning that, but I didn't think it was a real instrument, so it didn't matter. About 7th grade is also when I started to get into theater. I did a bunch of children's theater and community theater productions, but only regular plays. Musicals, which I loved, were also not for me. So I was backstage as a stagehand or costume assistant for Pirates of Penzance, Sweeney Todd, 1776, Camelot. I couldn't sing, after all. Oh, I tried a couple of times, but I was terrified of looking bad. My mom said I can't sing, and she'd know, right? Wouldn't she? What it took me about 40 years to realize is that in all my short life up to the point my mother said that was that I'd never had a single music lesson. No one had taught me to sing. Of course I was terrible. I was considered a gifted child. I learned to read before I was 3 years old. I was good at math. I understood fractions by kindergarten. School was easy. I didn't have to try anything to get by, and I did the bare minimum. So by this point, I think I already had the idea in my head that I was either just good at things automatically, or if I wasn't, they were not for me, because I was the smart one. And I don't think it did me any favors, because I was afraid to try things in case I wasn't naturally good at them. I didn't know how to learn something that was hard. I didn't know how to fail. I joke that I'm a control freak. Eric and Reverend Maria Christina can probably tell you how agitated I get when service has a tech issue. I don't know if you noticed my mistake today, but I missed a slide when I was putting together the PowerPoint for the story. That was not intentional. If I'm not that effortlessly competent, gifted child, if everything hasn't gone perfectly, then who am I? Do you know how many times I revised this reflection, trying to get it perfect? In April 2021, when we were all mostly still home and events were still mostly not happening, Prince Philip died in England. I saw his funeral online, and it reminded me that something I had always wanted to learn was the bagpipes. So I said to my husband, "Hey, can I take up an expensive and really obnoxious hobby?" And of course he said yes. So I found a teacher online that would give me lessons over Zoom, got a practice chanter, and started learning. If you don't know, you don't start with actual bagpipes. You start with a practice chanter, the part you blow into in the finger holes. It's actually very similar to a recorder. And I figured if I was terrible at it, 99% of people would never know anyway. Do not tell my teacher I said that. It has been almost 3 years, and I am still on the practice chanter. I still don't have actual pipes. I still can't really read music. I have to count the notes up from G and write the letters down on my sheet music. I often can't play a tune consistently from one day to the next. I can't use a metronome without forgetting the notes I'm supposed to be playing. I lift my fingers too high, and my embellishments are slow and sloppy. I am not naturally good at it. And I love every minute of it. I can tell how much I've learned. I'm not tone deaf. I can hear when I play the wrong notes. I know 5 tunes by heart, and I have just nailed a tune it's taking me 18 months to get right. I could have gone my whole life believing this was something I couldn't do, that it was music and not for me. But I decided I was willing to try and fail instead of never trying something that I'd always wanted. I'm a rule-following type of person. But I've realized a lot of these rules don't actually exist. I'm making up these rules about being perfect, about not trying and failing, about not looking ridiculous. And it's making my life harder. Those rules aren't real. I still can't sing. Not really, anyway. Or maybe I can. I don't actually know. I've still never had a voice lesson. But it doesn't matter to me anymore. If there's one thing all that children's theater is good for, you stop minding when you look ridiculous. I love karaoke. No one expects you to sound good anyway. And you'd better believe that every morning when I drive into church, I am hollering along to Freddie Mercury on the radio.
Let us imagine ourselves as children. When was the first time you realized that you were being measured? Measured in sports, in the classroom, doing chores at home compared to a sibling, maybe. Later on in the workplace, being equated with how much you produced. And in places where we're supposed to be creative and have fun, art class, choir, drama club, and even the spiritual places where we should only be measured by our kindness. Did you ever not attempt something? Did you ever leave something midway because you feared not being perfect? When you are embarking on a new journey, do you still hear the voices telling you you're not good enough? Why bother? Do you hear yourself say, it's too late now. I'm not good enough. Why do we strive for perfection? Where does it come from? Who expects us to be perfect? How much time have we wasted trying to do what we thought was expected of us? How do I let go of the perfectionist idea of who I am supposed to be? If you didn't have to be perfect, what would you try? What would you do? Shout it out. I would roller skate. Paint a picture. Learn the trombone. Dance.
Progress, not perfection.
Amen. What will you try, Richard?
I may try singing to the choir.
All right. See, everyone can sing. Why do we strive for perfection? How much time have we wasted? We perceive flaws. We fixate on imperfections. We try to control situations. We're critical of ourselves and others. And this can do a number on our self-esteem. But what happens? What happens when we accept and embrace our beautiful, perfectly imperfect selves? What happens when we let go? What gifts can we uncover? Yes, there's actually a book called The Gifts of Imperfection by Brené Brown, right? In this book, she teaches us that perfectionism is not the same thing as striving to be your best. Perfectionism is not self-improvement. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's important to know the difference between adaptive and maladaptive perfectionism. It's good to strive, to learn, to grow. It's good to have high standards. It's good to aspire to excellence versus a maladaptive perfectionism, which can be harmful, which turns us into an object rather than a subject. We lose a sense of self. We measure ourselves with that same perfectionist ruler. And we feel and we hear and we believe, I'm not good enough. Brown writes that what is most concerning is that when we adopt perfectionism, our self-worth is on the line. And I quote, she writes, if I can look perfect, love perfectly, work perfectly, and do everything perfectly, I can avoid or minimize the painful feelings of shame, judgment, and blame. Perfectionism can lead to a cycle of self-blame, where we hear the message constantly, it's my fault. I am not good enough. The good news, yes, there's good news, is that we can manage, we can harness the positives of this perfectionism while mitigating the negatives of it. We can practice keeping our perfectionism in check by cultivating authenticity. Letting go of what people think. Cultivate self-compassion. Cultivate gratitude and joy. Let go of scarcity mentality and fear. Let go of comparing yourself to others. Let go of anxiety as a lifestyle. Let's cultivate meaningful work. Let go of self-doubt. Cultivate laughter, song, and dance. Let go of ways we always try to be in control. Changing a culture of perfectionism can start right away by focusing on the positives as well as areas for improvement, appreciating everyday efforts, offering ourselves the self-compassion for the mistakes and the growing pains. Because it's not true that when we make mistakes, we are the mistake. It is not true. We've all experienced fear of the new, fear of others' judgment. We've all experienced the shame when we failed at something we were supposed to be good at or expected to be good at. When we made a mistake, we felt the fear of disappointing others. And perhaps we heard that voice that said, why risk? Quit while you're ahead. Just give up. You know that you're not that good enough to try that. So whether it's singing, playing the bagpipes, learning to swim, doing the tango, learning to paint, learning a new language, stepping into a new leadership position, or facing the ongoing challenges of parenting in such a demanding and critical society, let us remember that there are antidotes to perfectionism. We can cultivate worthiness. We can practice self-compassion. We can let go. We can embrace our creative, powerful, brave, quirky, beautiful, vulnerable, perfectly imperfect selves. Remember that it's never too late to turn to your loved ones for support and say, "Hey, I'm going to do a brave new thing. Will you help me?" So, beloveds, pick up your bagpipes, your ukuleles, your harps, violins, roller skates, paintbrushes. Start your Duolingo lessons and dust off your Spanish or French dictionaries. And don't forget to sing on your way to your next adventure. Yes, I believe that everyone can sing. So maybe we'll make karaoke where we cheer each other on for singing off key our next spiritual practice. What do you think? Amen? Amen.